All right, so most people in here know who I am by now, but if you don't, my name is John. I'm known as that guy who blew the tuba for 6 years and got a degree in it. So I blew hot air through a piece of metal. They do have degrees for that, and they paid me to do it. Look at that. Thank you, Brother Micah. Thank you. Some of y'all know me as being an avid fan. Usually you'd hear me complaining about Michigan if they muff certain punts or throw interceptions on the goal line. I'm usually the one that's being the commentator in the room. Drive my wife crazy. Thank you, honey. Thank you. They also know me for being the guy that makes a mean fried chicken sandwich. Those of you who know and who have had it, they can attest. And my core members know me as that guy that's always talking about we fixing to get it. If you don't know what that means, just ask them. They'll tell you they hear it every day, probably 10 times a day. But what you guys may not know about me is that I've actually had a pretty difficult and checkered past when it comes to my sexual history and just battling with sexual immorality. And at the age of 11, I actually got hooked on porn. And I would spend the next 14 years or so battling that, just fighting for my life spiritually. It was a pretty dark time in my life. I grew up in the church, but you know, how many of us know that sometimes that makes it worse? When you grow up in the church and you know you're known as that guy, oh, that's the guy that loves Jesus, and then you're just like, yeah, bro, but I'm still struggling too. But you just feel trapped. And so I remember at my darkest times, man, I at U of M, my freshman year, I used to just pray and ask God, look, God, just take me out of here. Just take me out of here. I can't do this anymore. I would constantly have suicidal thoughts going through my head. I was like, this is not how I'm supposed to be as a Christian. But I just felt stuck. No matter how hard I tried, I just felt stuck. And I hated it. How many of us know what that's like? You know, whether it be anger, you know, sexual morality, whatever it is, whatever our sin is, you just feel stuck. And it just makes you mad. It just makes you so mad. But how many of us know that God is bigger than that? Amen. And so it took me years of being involved in this wonderful community here. Elliot and Micah were actually the guys that got me plugged in the core. I was kind of floating around. You know, I believed in God, but I wasn't really plugged into a biblical community. And what'd you say? That's right. I was floating like a gnat in Kool-Aid. And by the grace of God, I met these guys. And, you know, I came to core. Chris Payne, this is about 3,000 years ago, was actually leading our core. So that dates me and him, just so you guys know. So that was one of the most amazing cores I've ever been a part of. And then they were like, oh, come to church. So I come to church. And I'm like, yeah, man, this place is awesome. And to this day, I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to meet so many wonderful men and women of God, including the ones that I see right here today. Yes, you guys are awesome. So since 2017, I'm happy to say this, I've been porn free. And I thank God for that. And so how did I get free? So confession, biblical community, prayer, being touched by the Spirit. There was different things that went on for a long time. But today I don't want to focus on what happened and you know what helped get me free. I want to focus on the mindset. There was something that happened, church, and I what you're there'd be sexual morality, anger, different types of temptation. No matter what it is, we can all latch onto this principle. And it's a beautiful principle. And to better understand this, I want us to verses 1 through 14.
Hello.
Ooh, I like that. That's good. All right, guys, so I'm going to read it. And as I read it, we're going to go through and we're going to plant our roots deep down in the Word. And we're going to get it, all right? We're fixing to get the Word. Let's get it. All right, so what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so real quick, I kind of want to go into what Paul's saying here. If you notice, he starts off asking, like, why would you sin thinking that grace will increase? So this was a common heresy that people were, you know, a lot of Romans were running around believing, and honestly, it still exists to this day. There's a heresy that, oh man, if I can just sin more and get more of God's grace because he's very forgiving, he's very generous and very loving, then I can grow closer to God. Who in here thinks that makes sense? I don't either. But that was a heresy that Paul was battling. So that's why he kind of confronts this head on. And he's like, why would you want to live in sin any longer? And then he goes into talking about what? Something we just did right up there with Brother Marlon. Baptism. He's saying that because we died to our old selves, just as Christ died on the cross and was resurrected, why would we choose to just happily partake in sin? And so I'm going to keep going here. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So I want to go back real quick, church. There was something I told you guys, something that shifted in my mind that helped get me on the road to recovery, the road to freedom. And I'm going to get into it right here. So I want you guys to understand that Jesus did not just pay our debt and forgive our sins. He purchased our freedom from sin itself. We can choose not to sin. Sin is no longer our master. And that's what's so beautiful about when we think about baptism. It symbolizes that. Christ robbed the grave. And not only did he rob the grave, he has given us freedom not to sin. And so I know some of y'all are like, whoa, freedom not to sin. Does that mean that because we're Christian, we don't sin anymore? No, that's not what Brother John's saying. So, Brother John, what are you saying? All right. I'm saying that by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us as believers, so not in our own power, we do not have to sin. This does not mean that once we are Christian, we will live lives free of sin. Does that make sense, church? Awesome. So the Bible teaches us that until we die and enter into eternity with our Father, we will sin. We know that. But again, the reason for this is not because we are hopelessly doomed to sin. It's not like we just wake up every day and we're like, man, I gotta go ahead and sin 490 times because, you know, Jesus, 70 times 7, let's get it. You know, he's going to forgive me a lot, so let me go meet my sin quota. That's not how it works. That's not how it works at all. But again, the reason is not because we are hopelessly doomed to sin. It's because in our flesh we choose to sin. You see, I want to say something right now, and it's going to set some of us in here free. And once I really believe this in my heart, it really did a work in me. We do not have to sin. When we are tempted, we can choose not to sin. Now, when we don't know Christ, we kind of have to sin because we're not following Jesus. So we wake up and we live this same life, this same thing that pleases us. And guess what? It doesn't please God because we're not with God. But as Christians, we can rest assured. We can rest assured that by the power of the blood, and when Christ spilled his blood, that not only did he pay for our sins, but he broke the power that sin had in our lives. And so it brings the question, why as Christians do we still sin? It's because, and I don't want to scare you guys with this word, but after becoming Christian, we still have to learn how to think, live, and love like Christ. This process is known as sanctification. I see some of y'all's faces, you're like, oh, that's a lot of syllables, that's a big word. But no, it just means like through the power of the Spirit, just renewing our minds daily, living with Christ. It's just basically Jesus just cleaning us out. And that's a process that lasts until we die. And so when Paul says we are dead to sin and alive in Christ, he's not saying that we're not going to sin again. He's saying that Jesus has given us the freedom from the bondage of slavery, as well as he is declaring that we are brought to life spiritually as we choose to live for Christ. This means that sin, again, is no longer our master, not that we will never sin again. Now, I know I spent a lot of time talking about that, and y'all are probably like, okay, why? But that's a thing that still is around today. That's a heresy that people are still falling into today of like, okay, I'm a Christian, so I don't sin anymore. It's like, no, it's kind of an already but not yet kind of deal. It's like when we go and we be with Jesus, you know, we are perfected. But we're not perfect yet here. I know sometimes I might be kind of mean to my wife. I'm sure she would say and agree that there are times when I'm not the nicest guy. Amen. And I know that all of us in here have those moments. And so I know I've been talking a lot about how, you know, we need to die to our sin. But I want to go into the next verses, and we're going to talk about how we do this. How do we live in the freedom that Christ has promised us? So we're going to look at verses 11 through 14. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. Amen that we don't have to be perfect, that we don't have to like uphold this standard by ourselves because we never could. How many of us know that if it wasn't for God's grace, like we would all be doomed to sin? Sin for us in our flesh is like breathing. It comes that easy to us. I love it. I don't know if it was Chris Payne or somebody. We were talking about just like kids, just raising kids. And I know me and my wife joke about this all the time, but even in our little Gabby who just turned one last weekend. So, yeah, praise God, man. She overcame a lot of adversity through her, not only through her birth, but even just health the first couple months. Like there were several times she could have left away from here, and God was gracious and protected her. But I bring her up because even at her age right now, there's some tendencies starting to creep in there. Some very sinful little things, some attitudes, some swatting. How many of us know what it's like to get swat by a kid? See, kids are a lot stronger than they look because they don't necessarily know their own strength. And so all they know is, oh, you took that, bow, and you're just like, ow. And that's not fun. How many of us like getting hit in the face by kids? I don't. So I bring it up because we didn't teach her that. We weren't whacking Gabby in the face. We didn't teach her how to throw an attitude when she doesn't get something she wants. That's something that, because we are born in sin already, that's something we kind of just do from day one. We have to learn how to behave. We have to learn how to follow Jesus. We have to learn how to give our life to him. We have to learn how to live in the freedom that he's already purchased for us. So a lot of this is in our minds, and so I want to dive into this right here. We're gonna soak some roots in here. We're just going to plant our roots down in verses 11 through 14 for a little bit. Is that all right? So in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. So when you think of count yourselves, what that's saying is consider yourself. That's up here. So you can know it. You can know it intellectually, but how many of us know that you can know something intellectually and still not believe it? So when I say it's up here, I'm not talking about purely head knowledge. I'm talking about the heart of the mind, truly believing it by faith. Count yourselves dead to sin. That's something I'm still learning how to do. I think that's something we still do, and that's something that God works on us. It's a process. But alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin. So here's where it's really cool, and this is what gives me hope every time I read this passage. So I don't know if I told you guys earlier, but these are some of the same passages that God used to speak to me when I was thinking in my room of ways to either in my own life or just asking God to take me out of my sleep. These were some of the same passages I read then. And it always gave me hope when I saw, do not let sin reign. Because that implies that we have control over our sin. But it's not because of our own doing. Amen? It's because Jesus died for that. He paid for that. He said, hey, those men and women at the University of Michigan matter to me. And yes, some of them are my enemies right now, but I still love them. Because you know what? They can still come to me. They can still do it. And so I'm going to go die for them. Even as people spit on me, even as I'm getting stabbed, I'm dying for these people who are cursing me right now. What love. What love, man. We don't, none of us deserve that. And so do not let sin reign means that we don't have to let it reign. When we think about reign, we think of rule. We think of power over us. And if Paul is saying, and if Jesus already said that sin has no power over us, then why are we still letting sin reign in our lives?
Have we truly believed in our deepest core that we are set free from the power of sin? Do we really believe that? And so do not offer any part of yourself. Offer, that's like a type of almost submission and obedience to something. And Paul later, and we don't get into it here, but in the second part of the Romans 6, he talks about a slave to righteousness. He talks about being slaves to righteousness. And basically what he's saying, and it applies here, is that you're either going to serve the world or you're going to serve Jesus. And even serving yourself is still serving the world. And so we need to offer ourselves as instruments of righteousness, not of wickedness. So what's really cool is you look at the word instrument, and I've actually seen some people interpret it as weapon. And we know that we're in a spiritual warfare, right? We know that following Jesus is a spiritual warfare. Like, we face attacks all the time from the enemy. And so imagine yourself as a weapon of righteousness. A powerful spear in the hand of God that he uses to just poke holes in the enemy and his plans, all of it. That's what Christ calls us to be. And so when we think back to what Paul is saying at the very beginning, he's saying, now that we've kind of gone through this whole section and we've heard this, church, if Paul understands this, which he does, he understood it way better than I did. Paul is an amazing man by the power of Christ. If he understood this, and we understand this now, could you see why at the beginning he's like, guys, we're saved. Why are you willfully giving yourself to sin? Are you, he's kind of challenging that heresy again. And so I want us to think about something right now. I want to challenge everybody in this room right now. Do you really believe that you are free from the power of sin? And I'm not talking about just from like, yeah, I know the Bible tells me so, Jesus and that. And no, do you really believe in your core that the power of sin, that addiction you face for 10 years, that the thoughts of anger, the thoughts of depression, the different things you're facing, do you really believe that that stuff has no power over your life? Because I tell you what, if you truly buy that and you truly believe what Jesus is saying, that's half the battle right there, is believing in what Christ did for you, what he did for us. Because if we don't believe that, then we're kind of out to lunch already. It's like, you know, if we don't believe that he broke that power, then, I mean, we're going to, you know, and sadly, I've had this mentality, and I hear some people in the church say, oh, well, you know, I guess I'm just doomed to sin. I mean, I'll be good one day when I die and I go be with Christ. It's like, but he already purchased the freedom from sin. Why are you just subjecting yourself to it? And I imagine, like, if I'm saying that, and we probably say that, imagine how much more God is saying that. He's like, man, like, this is the whole reason I sent my son. Because I loved you guys, and not only did I not want you to go to hell, I wanted you to live the fullness of life with me. Because how many of us know that it's one thing to just say, oh, we're saved, and we know we're going to heaven with Jesus, but God wants to have a full relationship with us right now. His goal is not just for us to be saved. Amen? He wants us to experience the fullness of life with him, the love. He loves us. He wants that relationship with us right now. Not tomorrow, not 20 years from now, not, oh, at the end of my life. He wants it now. And how beautiful is that? It's so beautiful. And so as I close here, I think it's one of the greatest tragedies, guys, in the church today, is that we live these lives and we're just like, man, like, I know biblically that sin has no power over me, but I don't feel it. I don't believe it. And I think, I know I was there at one point, especially when I was depressed, because my whole thing was, I can't get out of this. I'm doomed. I'm stuck. I'm going to die like this. These were thoughts I was having. But once I saw that, hey, you know what? Jesus did purchase that. He already paid for that. That didn't mean I didn't have to work. Like I said, I had to go to counseling. I had to talk to awesome men and women of God in here. A lot of confession, a lot of tears, but, you know, look how far God has brought me now. Like, I don't know if I would be standing here if it wasn't for him. I don't. Probably not. And so we got to get it right in our minds, church. And I'm not just saying intellectually. Again, I'm saying in our hardest of hearts, like they like to say. Do we believe that Jesus is who he says he is and he did what he said he did? And so I want to ask you guys today, so I know that sometimes we have people come up, if you're comfortable with coming up, I want you guys to just receive prayer on if you know that, hey, God, I know this is true, but I just don't feel it in my life. I'm not seeing it right now, Father. I'm not experiencing this freedom that you said we had. Come up. Come up. One of our staff will pray for you. Well, some of them on the worship team, but I can pray for you. Some of our core leaders can pray for you guys. But yeah, love you guys. Be blessed and see you soon.